Hey guys, it's Tammy Merhep Chavez.
And Bryce Mitchell Williams. We are the hosts of Hollyweird Paranormal. It's a podcast about Hollywood true crime and the paranormal based out of Los Angeles, California.
We spike this Hollywood cocktail with stories of true crime and its paranormal aftermath, along with dirty Hollywood scandals and secrets that make up this weird city of Hollywood and its surrounding areas that make up this crazy state of California.
Catch our episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Blueberry, and Stitcher.
Life is too short to be normal. Stay weird with Hollyweird Paranormal.
All right, but you mentioned a cocktail and now it's all I'm craving.
Right, let's end this promo and get one.
Yes.
Perhaps you can tell us why you arranged to have yourself shot.
Certainly. Just checking the system's effectiveness.
System? What system? Men popping up out of the bushes and frightening us to death?
Oh, just part of my grand design. The same plan that got you all here at the same time. Why do you think I invited you? Because every one of you sitting here in this room has one thing in common. Death. You, Bennington, once you were United Nations delegate till two members of your grubby entourage mysteriously disappeared.
There was an inquiry and I was completely exonerated.
So completely that they threw you out of the diplomatic corps. Now, you're part-time television personality, which I suppose makes you everybody's house guest.
I don't have to take that kind of talk from you.
You just did. How about our friend Maestro here? International concert pianist. Plays all over the world. Or used to. Now there are certain European capitals where he's not welcomed anymore. Seems there were nasty killings in those cities, and always when you were playing there. All the victims were found with their throats torn out.
Tom, if you're trying to completely ruin our weekend...
And if you're trying to protect Davina, no go. She wasn't invited because she's your friend. She's here on her own account. Because funny things happen when Davina Gilmore's in a house party, like you end up, I guess, short. Some poor man or woman, quite dead, and half eaten.
Tom, stop it.
But you ask me to explain... And I haven't finished yet. Mr. Foote knows all about eating human flesh. Isn't that right, Paul? You went to prison for it once, didn't you, Paul?
Somebody's been doing his homework. Still, it's no secret. I started out to be a doctor.
Really?
Yes, really. There were nine of us medical students involved. We each ate a piece of human flesh. Anatomical specimen.
I know all that. What I don't know is why.
Curiosity? Bravado? I don't know.
Maybe you couldn't help yourself. But that's more Dr. Lundgren's subject.
My subject is archaeology.
But not your passion. Your overwhelming interest is the Loup Garou.
Oh, yeah. The what? I prefer to call it Roloch.
Call it what you like. The result's the same. Human flesh torn out and eaten. As one of you knows only too well. Because one of you, sitting here in this room, is a werewolf.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to Invasion of the Remake, and I am your host, Sam Stepanenko, because, well, Jay lost the Olympics, and we're finally to the Olympics. Oscars!
Olympics, man, right out of the gate, you fuck up. This is what happens.
This is why I didn't want to do it. I had Olympics in my head, and then I went straight into it.
Don't go looking for our Olympics episode.
No. It doesn't exist.
But Yeah, there is an Oscars Academy Awards special.
Yes, and...
And I only lost by one, and I didn't technically lose, I just didn't win.
That is also correct, yes.
I lost by a lot.
Yes, our other co-hosts, Trish Coughlin. Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually get my name called.
It was because you interrupted.
You suck at this.
You interrupted. And, of course, our usual host, Jason Bishop.
Don't worry, folks, it's like 4 weeks of this, and then it'll be back to normal.
No, what do you mean normal? We're never normal.
Yeah, well, exactly.
As normal as we are.
As normal as we are, yeah. That's right. We go back to where the professional is actually hosting.
Because right now my notes are in Sam's lap.
Yes, uh-huh. They are. They absolutely are, because Jay does all this wonderful research, and I'm like, Jay's going to do it anyhow, so I'll just steal his notes. Just like high school.
This awful.
To be fair,
I'm glad we weren't school buddies.
Yes.
This is kind of like the Oscars, where a bunch of people write the jokes and the host just says them.
Although when I told him to sit in my seat and man the computers, he went white.
Yeah, no, Jay is still producing. I'm only taking over the hosting because Jay knows what he's doing, apparently, because I don't, even for hosting, apparently.
He didn't get the first sentence out properly.
I did so well. It started off so nice, and then I fucked it up.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. So, do we want to talk about what movie we're doing this week?
You and me?
Or all of us?
I'm not actually talking to you. Trish, I think I'll talk to you.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be that kind of day. Okay. Well, this week...
I feel like a child
I'm talking
of
to Jay, even though he's not talking to me. This week, we are doing The Beast Must Die from 1974.
Woohoo!
It's an Amicus production, and this was a request/fan challenge from our friend Subway Switch, from one of our fans from YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. As much as we diss the frickin' YouTubes, we do look at the comments, and we do love our audience over there, so... You know, you might be getting it a couple of days later, but that's okay. You're still talking to us. You're still watching it. Make sure you hit subscribe and ding the bell.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never miss an episode of Invasion of the Remake.
And you don't want to. Plug. Well, maybe this one. No, you don't want to miss this one.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not this one. So this movie, as we already mentioned, is from 1974. It has a great recognizable cast as well as a great fun story. It was written by Michael Winder, who you might know from The Avengers and The Saint, two not very good movies.
No, not those.
TV series?
Yes.
Oh, well, then that's okay.
The 60s BBC stuff. Yeah, see, that's the thing. You're reading my notes out of context.
Yeah, well, I am, yes. Well, when you go to The Avengers and The Saint, I'm like, okay, those were two bad movies.
Well, that's the thing. They were two great TV shows made into bad movies.
It still applies.
It still applies. And another writer by the name of Scott Finch, who is uncredited.
There's so many people uncredited for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of get the feeling that's kind of an Amicus thing. A lot of people are sort of like, yeah, I'll take the paycheck, but I don't want any credit for this, even though these movies are a lot of fun.
Amicus, I think a lot of the time people were getting their experience going through Amicus.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it as well.
It's trauma-esque, but like higher quality.
Absolutely. This is based on a story by James Blish called There Shall Be No Darkness.
Also uncredited. Shame. Never do that. Like, you cannot credit your source material. You have to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Oh, look, another uncredited.
Oh, no.
The director does get credit for directing, but did not for his co-writing.
Yes, he also contributed to the script and did not get credit. Yes, but at least his name is somewhere.
Yes, yeah. And his name is...
He exists.
Is it Paul Annette? Paul Annette. There we go. Mm-hmm. And he looks like he was working on the EastEnders, more British television.
A lot of British TV for him.
Yeah, and a lot of that was probably post... Well, no, the Avengers and the Saint were pre-1974, so
when I wrote that down, that's just the most recent thing he did until he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He just passed away, I think, last year.
Yeah, you were mentioning that we were talking about this the other night, and you did mention that he had just passed. And let's get into the cast, who, as I said, you'll recognize a lot of them, maybe not by name, but by the stuff they've been in. Our lead actor, sort of lead character, is as Tom Newcliffe. We had Calvin Lockhart, who Jay recognized from Predator 2.
Predator 2, yeah. King Willie.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently he was also in Twin Peaks.
Yeah. I don't remember. He was some sort of electrician on that show, and he was a regular, so I just don't remember him on that show.
I have to rewatch that.
Yeah, it's been too long for me.
As for me, and I keep meaning to rewatch it so I can watch the new seasons.
I remember King Willie.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to forget King Willie.
Yeah.
And of course, the legendary Peter Cushing as Dr. Christopher Lundgren. And if you don't know where he's from, we're not talking to you anymore.
Yeah, there's no point in mentioning Star Wars.
Or Doctor Who.
I mean, modern people, well, you know, his Doctor Who movies, even a lot of people, maybe the English UK audience will know him from those two Amicus films based on the TV series, and very loosely, because in the movies he wasn't from Gallifrey, he was just a human whose surname was Who.
And you've mentioned this before on previous podcasts, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I did see them. They're terrible, but I still love everything Doctor Who. So, and this also contributed to a lot of that confusion between Amicus and Hammer.
Yes.
Because they shared quite a similar cast set.
Exactly. And I was going to say, and of course, if nothing else, you should know from Hammer Horror stuff. And
Yeah, and Amicus used
Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing, they go back and forth between Amicus and Hammer all the time.
Sure. And, well, I don't even remember the studio that did the Asphyx when we did that episode.
I thought that was Amicus, wasn't it?
Was it Amicus?
I think so.
I don't remember.
I'm afraid I don't recall either.
Somebody go listen to our old episodes and tell us that we have no memory whatsoever.
I've acknowledged this at pretty much every episode that I have a terrible memory. I can't even remember that the Oscars are not called the Olympics. So
that's not really a memory so much as an obvious.
It's a slip. You might have thought it's the Olympics of movies.
We did just kind of get through the Olympics.
We did, and it was just in my head, and I said it.
It was an exhausting year of awards.
It was.
Not that I'm agreeing with you, because you suck.
Because I was right one more time than you were. Like, that never happens.
Never go against Pixar.
That's a given. Because we all did, and we all missed out on that one.
Can also be really hard and cold with your decisions. What you want to happen won't happen.
No, I did that last year, and that's why this year I was more prepared.
So I guess the lesson is give up.
Do your research.
You did better last year.
I did a lot better last year.
So we still have some more cast.
Of course, there's some names here.
Yeah, there are. So there's Marlene Clark as Caroline Newcliffe. She was in Beware the Blob and Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, she got some roles.
She did.
She did, yeah.
Yeah. And Charles Gray as Bennington. This man has no fucking neck.
He was also a Bond villain.
Yep.
Twice.
Yep. That's how I remembered him.
And in case you didn't get the reference, that's from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is where I recognize him from immediately.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan like you are.
No.
He was in the wheelchair?
I don't remember.
No, he wasn't in the wheelchair. He was the investigator, the narrator.
There we go. Yeah. That's it.
Yes, that's where he was. We had Anton Differing. Yes, Anton Differing as Pavel, who is Newcliffe's technological wizard, I guess you want to call him, his security expert.
Nerd!
We had Ciaran Madden as Davina.
Mm-hmm.
No credits for her that I can see there.
Well, there wasn't anything super of note. No, she did a lot of Amicus films.
She did, and she was acting right up until late 80s. Mm-hmm. I did some research on her as well, but
just
nothing memorable.
Nothing really big that the audience is probably going to recognize, so...
Well, they might.
They might.
We had...
Subway Switch will.
Yes, they will, I'm sure. We had...
Yes, thank you for that suggestion, by the way, Subway Switch. Yes. I'm not even going to do my normal fuck you for this because it was a lot of fun.
It was genuinely a lot of fun, and you'll be able to tell as we get further into our discussion, I'm sure. Tom Chadbun as Paul Foote, who was in Casino Royale.
Remember that name. It's always going to be Paul Foote.
It's always going to be Paul Foote. And I'm assuming that he was in the original Casino Royale, not the most recent one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, not necessarily. I think it was, I should have wrote that down, but I think it was the recent one.
The recent one?
So and apparently he's shown up in Game of Thrones, too.
Yeah. Yep. Not the only one in this cast that has.
No, Michael Gambon, our next one, has been in Game of Thrones as well.
Dumbledore.
Of course, Dumbledore.
Dumbledore, the sequel.
Yeah.
Instead of Paul Foote, I just checked for me. Harry?
And he was Yon.
Yes.
We had Valentine Dial as our narrator. We're not going to tell you the narrator of what yet, I don't think.
No.
Let's save that.
Fun.
That is fun. His most recognizable one is The Haunting. I'm guessing the original, not the remake.
Yeah, and you know what? We will cover that at some point. Mm-hmm. He's an actor in that as well. He's not just a voice guy. But yeah, he starred in The Haunting. And we will cover that in the future at some point. It's on my list. It almost happened recently, and then I went with something else. Mm-hmm. So just watch our upcoming slate, and we've got cartoons and gothic horror and all sorts of cool stuff coming up.
Yes, we do. It's going to be a fun time. And I promise that I'll do a better job next week. My first time, you got to give me a break.
No, I don't.
Well, Jay won't, but everybody else does. Should, maybe. So,
Trish.
Yeah. I'm the only one here. But I mean, I think Sam's thinking when people are listening to it and they are not one of us.
Yes. I'm hoping that you'll cut me some slack for my very first attempt as host. I mean, Jay does such a good job that I hated to take away from him, but I had to take my punishment. Now you have to take my punishment too.
I love how you would call it a punishment.
I appreciate the kudos, and I guess now I won't call out for some creative. I was going to get everybody to be really creative in their insulting Sam, but now I guess I won't.
Now it just seems mean.
Now it seems mean.
See how I did that?
Ah.
No, I just be honest. I said I was reluctant to.
But if you
to
feel
do it.
The need,
yes,
yeah,
I was reluctant to take my prize, as it were, because I didn't really want to punish you guys so much. But we'll get better. And by the time we get to the last one, I'll be really good at it, and then it'll be taken over again.
Mm-hmm. I've all forgotten how to do it.
That's what happens.
I doubt that.
No, I doubt it too.
It's a little bit like bike riding, but not at all.
So now that we've kind of got through the casting and all that stuff, do we want to tell people what this movie's about? Because it's a pretty fun derivative movie, but it's fun.
It's great.
Well, the intro we put in there gives it a quite a big hint that it, when you opened up this episode and got the kind of round table of introducing the wacky characters in a very Agatha Christie style. Let's call this movie
Supernatural Agatha Christie.
Or Ten Little Werewolves.
Ten Little Werewolves.
Or it's also, and I mentioned before, it reminded me of Haunted Honeymoon, which is our episode 63. Mm-hmm. One of you is a werewolf. Like less Dom and Drag, but more black exploitation.
That's really, really early in the opening. It's like he's got everybody to come down there. He's basically told everybody, you want to use a werewolf and your head's going to be hanging on my wall.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Wait, I'm going to kill one of you. You can't leave.
You can't leave. You know what keeps people from leaving? Not telling them you're going to kill them.
Yeah. You know what? This is also kind of the Osterman weekend in a way as well.
Well, there's that. And they reference a book that was kind of inspired the movie as well. And it was called The Most Dangerous Game, which very similar. Guy goes to an island and gets trapped and ends up getting hunted by a Russian big game hunter. And the opening scene, the very opening scene, very reminiscent of that.
There is so many influences running around in this movie. I mean, Agatha Christie being the biggest one. Uh-huh. But blaxploitation was a big deal. At the time, so they made the lead actor black in this opening music that was
fantastic,
fully Shaft at one point. When I opened up that movie, I was like, am I watching the right thing?
me too. We had a few of those, but that was definitely my feeling as well.
But see, I kind of like a movie like that where you're put into it and I'm getting drawn and I'm like, what's going on here? I want to know what's going on.
And that opening scene, I'm like, holy shit, we're gonna have to change that a lot.
Well,
I mean, even back then, that was a shock. That way was shocked an audience, right?
Yeah. Well, why would you test your security on the day everybody shows up?
Yeah,
for the dramatic piece.
No kidding.
He wanted to pretend he got shot. Yeah.
But I mean, the idea of a black man running through a forest being hunted by white men.
Thankfully, he's a rich black dude who paid off those white men.
Well, that's the thing. The twist, I don't know. The twist is that he's the one who's completely in control the entire time. I just don't know it until then.
But when you first see it, you're like, are you fucking kidding me?
I know.
I mean, even in 1970, like I said, that would have been, what the fuck?
And then at the end, you find out. It's like, oh, okay. Well,
and then you have another what the fuck moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the opening narrator, too, says, pay attention. Yeah. Pay attention to the clues and the hints. Do you know who the werewolf is?
Yeah, there's got to be more kind of clues and hints, because it seems to be they just had, in this script, one person that they were just going to basically make it look like it was them all along. Well, not anybody else, just him.
Let me ask you a question. Did you know who it was? And we're not going to tell you who it is right now, because... That comes with something else. Yeah. But did you pick who it was?
I had my suspicions, but the fact that they kept...
That doesn't sound like a yes.
Well, they kept... I knew who it wasn't. And the fact is because they kept making such a big deal about Paul Foot.
General rule, if it seems really obvious, it's not that dude.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, and that's especially in early 70s movies, it's a classic blatant misdirect.
Mm-hmm. They tell you right away, but they do such a good job misdirecting you throughout the film, and bouncing it around. There's a point where he says, the wife's going, what, are you going to suspect me too? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, she's totally a werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then like when she gets real pissed off about the whole holding the silver candle stick game. Yeah. Which you can do
we'll
something.
Get there. We'll get there.
Okay. Yeah. I have an idea for that, which I think would be fun, but that's just me.
I have a common sense, logical reason.
Yeah, really. Okay, yeah, your candelabra is silver. And you're going to pass it around to see if anybody has an allergic reaction. You are rich. Silverware. There's a reason it's called silverware. And it's sticking in the mouth. Although, yeah, I might have taken away the whole putting the bullet in later. But
yeah.
But nobody got to eat, right?
No.
Yeah. Oh, nobody really did get to eat.
No, not really.
Yeah, so.
I guess, well, here's what...
They were there for 3 days. At some point, somebody was eating.
Yeah.
Here's the reason I think he didn't do it. And this is my logical thing of why that didn't happen. I mean, the Wolfsbane thing, even if you took that out of there, he wanted to hunt the person. And if you just give them silverware to eat where they die immediately, where's the sport in that?
Or the movie.
Yeah.
But judge for yourself, because Sam... hasn't introduced the trailer yet, so I'll do it.
Okay.
Because you suck.
When the moon is full, the beast must die.
One of you is a werewolf.
You must track down the werewolf. One of these eight people is a werewolf. Can you guess which one?
Which one
of these eight people will turn into a werewolf? Can you guess who it is when we stop the film for The Werewolf Break? See it. Solve it. But don't tell. The Beast Must Die. Rated PG.
And that was the trailer for The Beast Within, or The Beast Must Die. I am so shitty at this.
Trish,
it's okay.
Tell him he sucks.
Tell me I suck. I'm admitting that I'm sucking.
Okay, Jay says you suck. I know you're struggling, but it's all a learning curve. I'm the optimist here.
No, I just can't get the words out of my mouth tonight.
I blame myself. There was no training, but I had no training either.
No.
Trust me, if you want to listen to our early episodes, they're full of suck.
We are learning. There is no magical transformation into a host like a werewolf would have. But
I'll be honest, I've been having trouble with the name for this movie all along, because when we were going to watch it, I'm like, okay, we're watching The Beast Within. I'm like, no, that's not it. And then I remembered it was The Beast Must Die. And then I just did it again, because it's...
I don't remember what was in my head at the time, but when I went looking for the movie, I had something... All the words were right. It just was a longer title in my brain.
I had The Beast and Amicus, because those were the two items I knew I needed to find the right movie.
Good enough. Yeah.
Good enough, yeah. But yeah, no, it's been messing me up ever since we decided we were going to do this, and apparently it's still...
Maybe that's the first thing we need to change, is the title of this movie.
Yes.
Man, one episode, I'm already crushing his confidence. Mission accomplished.
Oh, no, my confidence will get better. That's one thing I've never lacked for, Jay, is confidence. Even when I'm fucking up, I just get better. I learn from my mistakes, eventually.
Yeah.
You only got 4 weeks to do it, man.
Three now.
Three now.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Well, let's get to these characters. And
they are characters. Every single one of them is a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, when I ran the intro there, you got this... what was the guy before he became a TV, disgraced TV guy?
Oh, he was an ambassador, and then a couple of his buddies went quote-unquote missing.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, they're all surrounded by death.
Yeah, he was a former diplomat too, right? So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, but the thing is, when you talk about they're all characters, like, Davina is sort of just a blank spot.
Well, no, she was one of Yon's students.
She was one of Yon's students, but when we're talking about, like, the characterization within the movie...
Oh, she was the pretty eye candy on the arm.
I know, right? But there's nothing there, and that upset
student
me a lot.
Student, then girlfriend.
Yeah.
And there's a certain kind of sense there. You've got Yon, who... was just the boyfriend, really.
Yeah.
But well, wasn't he a concert pianist?
He's
he was
concert
a musician.
Pianist, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he would tour and then people would die. Davina shows up to a party, you end up a few guests short.
Yes, and then Paul Foot.
Yes.
It's funny because in the on our list, it's like Peter Cushing's got a full name, the hosts, the New Cliffs have their full names, and Paul Foot has his full name, and then it's Bennington, Pavel, Davina, Yon.
Yeah, but I mean, even
I love Paul Foot because every time they talk about it, they say his full name.
But
every time.
That's the thing.
Except for the first bit where they say Mr. Foot.
Yeah.
But even within the movie, he goes by Tom and she goes by Charlotte. It's never Tom. It's never the full name. They
Caroline.
Do have their full name in the credits.
Tom and Caroline.
Tom and Caroline. But it's like Tom and Caroline, and then it's always Paul Foot. Where's Paul Foot? They would say, where's Tom? Where's Caroline? Where's Paul Foot?
And he's the one that I just wrote down. He's the cannibal.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, it's just some college. Like, man, what the fuck? We were working on cadavers. I wanted to try something.
Yeah, it was studying medicine. Yeah. Empirical
like
research.
That weird college experiments. And like
everyone experiments in college. Some kids do drugs. Some people dip into bisexuality, other people become cannibals. It's just what happens in college.
It's a thing you do. It's a thing you do.
I mean, it's not like they...
It's harder to get than weed.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, it's not like they killed somebody to try it out. I mean, they were medical students, right? They had access to cadavers.
The first thing when I heard that, I'm like, oh, please be a Wendigo.
Well, and when I hear about they have access to cadavers, and I'm like going, aren't those like treated with stuff so they don't rot? Like, that can't be the best meat you can get.
No, probably not.
Formaldehyde spices it up.
You know what? I had a classmate in high school. I'm not going to call him a friend. A classmate in high school. Somebody bet him a dollar to eat a piece of frog from our dissection. That was pretty much the noise he made as he rushed out of the classroom.
Yeah, because that stuff, it's not good for you.
No, it is not. No.
It's toxic.
Yeah, this is the same
There's
guy who snorted salt
they...
for a dollar, so.
All right.
Yeah.
he's a cheap bet, and then he wound up on Jackass or something.
I have no idea. I have no idea where he ended up.
You know,
and his friend became Steve-O.
I hear stories like that. I'm just saying, not all babies are meant to grow up.
Where he
if
went.
Life was fair.
And a throwback to last week's episode, just, he'll buy that for a dollar.
Right?
Nice. Yeah, so I don't know why they decided to. Like, he should have... Why? Like, it's really treated like, I don't know, a cadaver.
Well, I think
no.
that they were in their actual autopsy, like doing an autopsy. So pre-treated, pre-decomposition type situation. Because they did, I do think they just mentioned the word autopsy in there.
Oh, okay.
Right. So I'm thinking it's probably not a medical cadaver where it would be treated.
So there's a big thing missing in this movie. Why?
Yeah.
Why is any of this happening? Why is Tom like doing this like it's the great white whale of Moby Dick?
I don't know. Like he's weird.
Obsessed
he's that
and it's like this is
it's like
what
he's a
should
real
be folklore. It shouldn't be even a real thing in his brain.
He's a true believer in this thing is happening. Yeah. But I mean, I kind of appreciate within the context of the movie other people think he's a little crazy, but the movie itself has decided a werewolf is going to happen, and it is the universe we are living in.
Oh, sure. You got Peter Cushing, who's a archaeologist.
Yeah.
But his
hobby is
lycanthropy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where's he got all these facts? Like, there's only folklore to work with here.
But in this is alternate reality. Apparently, there's more facts than we might.
There's more stuff. Like,
he's
such
a stereotype professor.
But you can look into like a lot of folklore. What's really interesting is you can go for at least for vampires. There's tons of folklore across tons of cultures around the world. I don't know about werewolves.
There is,
There's lots of. It's mostly like European. So I think you'd have all this folkloric knowledge. It wouldn't be practical knowledge, but it'd all be all this folkloric knowledge of what you would do to find, kill, detect a werewolf, protect yourself from, and that's just what he would have.
Well, and I mean, that character would have been a lot more interesting if he had sort of had that Van Helsing atmosphere about him, where he had gone out on expeditions to find facts about the kind of werewolves. Right.
Like,
like that, eh?
Well,
I can't say the word, so I'll say something else. Yeah.
Or what he could do is, what would be interesting is have him like that kind of, that Fox Mulder character, where he's looking for facts on something but believes in the supernatural.
Yeah, that's the way he should be played, I think, more so than this kind of dry, stuffy guy who didn't really get very much screen time for such an established actor, to be honest.
Yeah, always more Cushing.
Yeah.
You can never go wrong with more Cushing.
Peter Cushing probably was only available like for a couple of days because he's not there very much. Yeah, the scenes are all kind of in the same place.
Yeah, they are.
Exactly. They probably only had him for a couple of days, and he probably doesn't come cheap.
Even back then, you're probably correct, yeah.
Like, I think what I would like to see is more the relationship between his character and Tom Newcliffe. I would like to see it be more like the one that Tom Newcliffe has with Pavel, where it's a closer relationship and they sort of share the same vision.
Where he's an advisor rather than sort of a potential suspect.
Yeah.
You know, and that might be a good way to maybe merge those characters, as this is his chief Savari guide There's always one of those guys that takes out the rich dude to go shoot things.
And plus, like, if he's part of the person who helped create the security system to find and, like, contain a werewolf, that would be somebody who would be, like, really into werewolf folklore. Like, okay, werewolf does this, a werewolf can do this.
Yeah, folklore expert / security
Our
guy.
Our fences have to have silver plating on them or something like that. Like, they would know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make the character a lot more interesting and certainly round him out a little bit better, because he was probably the least developed character of all, aside from Davina.
She was just
poorly developed.
I mean, they would have been cool if they just told some of the more stories, because there's just a lot of garden party shit. Let's go play cricket. You know, Tom would go and grab some wolfsbane from the greenhouse,
and somebody's trying to hit him with an arrow or something like that. Like, there was this subplot.
The axe bit too.
Yeah, there's
somebody keeps trying to kill Tom.
Yes.
Yeah, there's subplot of somebody trying to kill Tom, like somebody human trying to kill Tom, not even the wolf.
And the wolf, really smart, you know, for this secret security system, he knew to lure Tom out so he could go after the guy running all the monitors and shit. Yep. And then destroy all the equipment.
From a certain perspective, it makes sense when you're considering it to be the werewolf that maybe knows what's going on. Like, it would be a more sentient animal than a regular wolf.
Well, there's plenty of opportunity for people to figure it out. Like, Paul Foot notices security cameras. Jan tries to leave right away in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, FYI, that car chase, right after that first initial chase at the beginning, like, it was too soon.
Yeah,
to do something.
Well,
else like
he was. I'll get there because that actually works for me. But
no, it doesn't.
But it does tip off Jan that he knew I was leaving, so there has to be some sort of monitoring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, Tom just takes everybody's car keys.
No, he took off their distributor caps.
That's it. Yeah, it was something out of the engine, and he threw them in the lake. But he said he'd fix them for you on
buy
Monday.
Buy new ones. Yeah,
yeah, buy everybody new ones.
I'll replace them all except for the guy I just killed.
Yeah,
exactly.
One of you is going to die. I won't have to replace that one.
Yeah,
he knows there's one vehicle that's not leaving.
Yeah,
I have a question, and this is not addressed in this movie: is how does he explain away the fact that he's about to commit murder?
Yes.
In the eyes of every law, he's about to commit murder. He's planning to commit murder. This is premeditated.
Oh, it is.
It is absolutely premeditated.
That's why I kind of want to make this guy not a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I really need to give him a little bit of motivation to do this in the first place. Like, maybe there was a safari and this, maybe they lost a son,
or maybe
his first wife died and this is his second.
It could go back to his childhood in the Caribbean. Remember, he's talking about that's how he lost his family.
Yeah, there you go.
Pure and simple, the simplest motivation possible. Sure. He's an orphan because a werewolf killed his family.
And so he seeks to exterminate these creatures, he believes it to be a werewolf. Yeah.
So now he's hunting one, but I always thought if it was more personal and these people happened to be around during that time, then there's more reason to gather them. But yeah, I mean, the murder around, or the death around these characters as well, does make sense if he has that background of wanting to have done. I would not tell anybody why I invited him there, though.
No,
I think that was so dumb.
Well, it removed so much tension.
That's true.
Right away from the beginning, because we know what he's looking for as an audience, but...
Well, the narrator gave us that. We don't need to tell them.
Exactly.
At least we'll still have tension for the viewer.
Yeah, I would like...
Because it removes it for me, too.
Yeah, because, there's no mystery for them anymore. The only tension
comes from when Tom's trying to get murdered, but you don't feel that bad about somebody trying to murder him, because that's what he's going to do.
Yes. I know.
Yeah, and they actually make him a
Colombian drug lord or something.
They go and go and do these garden parties, and they play croquet, and they go for walks along the river. It's like...
Yeah, despite the fact that they realize they're going to get... So one of them is going to be murdered along the way.
Yeah.
They seem to be fairly relaxed. By day three, they're a little more on
it. Like, you could have it... Yeah, I don't know how you could possibly do it. Like, how you could deceive them enough, but yet keep it open for us. Like, I don't know, maybe he's invited them over. He's invited them to their first special, game.
Games he does play... still works, like the handling the candelabra and stuff, but like I said, you could do the silverware thing and somebody gacking on that.
Yeah.
then the whole weekend's gone and you don't have a movie.
But when you have, like, you're putting around the raw meat and seeing maybe people sweat and talking about this weird subject, although I don't know why everybody lost their appetite, but maybe nobody likes the undercooked beef.
It was undercooked beef, and it was pouring pretty much blood on top of it.
It wasn't a proper gravy. It was just more blood.
Yeah.
What, did he just slaughter a whole cow? Because I'm like, I make roasts, and you don't get, like, a big thing of that.
No, you don't. Right?
I think you do if you have your own cattle and you're rich.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
There was some
did you see cattle there? No.
No.
That was the last one.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
There were some interesting facial reactions at that dinner table, because Davina... Right, like, she looked like, oh, hey, this looks really good. She had that look on her face, like that, like she was tempted.
Yeah, you could have done more with that.
You could have done so much more with that, right?
And then she just decides to turn it down.
Yeah, but I mean, you could have Tom being far more subtle and looking for those reactions, and when he sees her interest, then he can start sort of investigating her and playing some of those mind games with her. I think that would be a lot more interesting.
And they should have introduced a dog right away. Like, say they went on a fox hunt. And the dog's reacting to somebody there. You know, there's other ways to do this and create tension within the movie. I mean, even the action-y stuff kind of feels like, eh.
Yeah, I didn't...
Well, the action stuff was pretty low budget.
This is a very low budget.
Did you just describe the werewolf as there, Trish, before we started recording? A German shepherd in a bad toupee?
Yes, yes.
It was a German shepherd
in a bad toupee.
Like... It's not even a metaphor. It is. It is. That's what it was.
Yeah. That poor animal.
Yeah. And the funny thing is the scene where they show the werewolf in the window above Pavel before it comes into the tech room there. Mm-hmm. He actually looks really, really good. Like, it looks more like that half man and half wolf kind of thing that you expect from a werewolf.
It looked dark and imposing.
Yeah. I think it was just the way the angle of that shot was. It was pretty good.
It's a really good shot.
Yeah. That's a good shot.
Yeah, but that one worked for me. It didn't feel as really cheesy as when we see the werewolf at the end.
Yeah.
And it looked more feral.
That's just something I would change. I mean, I'm big American Werewolf in London fan, so I want to see that kind of half wolf, half man kind of thing. And then it can go one way or the other or in between. You know, I kind of like the... mythology around that. So,
I kept looking at that one shot.
I mean, yeah, we need a Rick Baker-esque special effects guy.
I'll be honest, I was tempted to go with the idea of the werewolf not even existing at all.
That's
I thought about that. Yeah. That his Tom is just insane.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, maybe he's the one slipping into madness, and it's just this weird aspect of his personality.
Yeah, make him the beast.
And it's a high-tension situation.
I really, yeah. Except it doesn't have that shitty ending.
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly, I don't know if we'd be able to classify it as a full-on remake at that point, but...
Well, no, ooh. But that's the thing about remakes. You do something different.
You can do something.
I want something different. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the same.
Yeah. If we're talking about the fact that, like, he has a real kind of real hard-on for getting some werewolf, it could be he went on safari...
as a misdirection on the audience as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And the best part is you could have him seeing werewolves.
Yeah. Right? But you could have it, like, he went on safari with his buddy.
And he's the only one.
Yeah.
He went on safari with his buddy who believes in werewolves and so is like sort of enabling all this behavior. But like on the safari, he caught something that like a bug in his brain and he's going insane because he's got this infection, which is why he's seeing werewolves.
Well, you mean it's entirely possible. Like you just make him insane from the get go, right? The loss of his family has always driven him because, I mean, he's an obsessive hunter.
Yeah. Right? And this is his moment of... like the apex of insanity.
That's right.
Where he's finally gotten to them.
Yeah, he's hunted down all of the other most dangerous predators in the world. What's left? The werewolf that
killed his family.
Or a werewolf. Yeah. And yeah, I'd love to have him seeing werewolves out in the woods and stuff like that as he's going out and checking things. And
yeah, well, that goes one of my theories of how to remake this thing, because I really like that. But I'm like, you could also, because this movie's just ludicrous, and you could just go straight on farce with it. And,
I had a bit of a comedy angle with it as well.
Yeah, and it would work either direction.
Yeah, it wouldn't work out in either direction, yeah. But yeah, I like the subject matter that I wanted to make it a full-on twist.
Well, that's way better than what I had in my head, so I like that. Let's go with that. But as a comedy, you'd almost just play it the way this is already played.
Yeah.
You tell everybody at the beginning, and and then it's almost like these pathetic pranks to get the werewolf to show itself.
I would have it... like, and I would, if I was going full comedy, I'd change up. Okay, now that I'm thinking of it, because I didn't really cast for this. I don't know. But I'd change up a bunch of the characters. Like, Paul Foot would be like some douchey frat boy because who went to medical school. And Davina's like the sorority girl. You could make it like a very young cast.
You could do it that way, yeah.
And they think they're on a reality show when in reality the person who is quote unquote producing it thinks one of them is a werewolf.
We can maybe make Davina's last name Hand, and then you can have a Hand and Foot joke.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awful. Yeah. And the
Davina Mouth Foot and Mouth Disease.
Yes, there we go. We were talking about you were having trouble sort of figuring out your angle on this, and I came up with two, believe it or not. The other angle I came up with
two soft ones, yeah, but
I came up with the another one, which is they're all werewolves.
Oh,
I did. That came across my mind too, where I thought there was like all of it was a misdirect. And the other thing about it too was I had with the silver candle is Tom thinks it's a silver candle, but his wife's already a werewolf and is aware of everything. So everything he thinks is silver in the house is actually just painted silver.
That is freaking genius.
That is hilarious. Well, that would be good for the comedy.
And that's why they keep passing all these tests, because she's just covering her own ass and doesn't want to die.
I think we're making two versions right now.
Yeah, we are. But I'm okay with that.
First.
Yeah.
Because I like both angles.
Yeah. They all know that they're werewolves, and the only one who's not is Tom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're actually playing him. Like that.
Oh, they're trying to convince him werewolves aren't real. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Right. And they're covering for each other.
Yeah.
Right. So one says, "Can you go and fuck with them now?"
And the point. And the point is, they've known each other for years, so they know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can make Tom though, and the doctor, the two that aren't, because you can kill the doctor partway through.
By day three, it's like he's finally making them try to reveal themselves, and you're right. It is her dinner party, and the dinner is you.
Yes. And then the doctor's done.
That's the comedy angle.
And they're where's the doctor? And like they just ate all of the doctor.
Oh yeah, so I got a little stuck here. Yeah, it's in my teeth.
He was stringy. I don't know.
Yeah, a little stringy. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I had a tough time deciding, so let's not decide, I guess.
Yeah, no, we can do both. I like the comedy angle, and you don't actually have to change much. You just exaggerate it more because it is
It's
kind of all sitting there ready to go.
Yeah. Just exaggerate all the characters.
And that's a good gets a good misdirect again, so you still keep the mystery angle. I really dig that. Mm. Okay, that one's done.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, that was like, a little less work. Yeah.
For serious, I think, yeah, if we're doing a serious one, it's there is no werewolf comedy, all werewolves. Yeah.
I do like the fact that you're all wrong.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like, who did you guess? If you guessed anybody, you were probably right.
If you guessed no one, also right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like that kind of high tension, it's all in your head kind of angle.
Mm-hmm.
Or his hand. Yeah, see, now I'm thinking the wrong movie.
And you could have, like, you could introduce sort of just like that backstory where, like, maybe he had a previous wife and, like, he killed her because he thought she was a werewolf, and, like, his current wife is getting real nervous because he's starting to think that again.
Yeah, you could even almost go with sort of a memento thing there, right? Where his insanity, or he's killed quote unquote werewolves before.
Yeah.
Right. And Caroline knows this.
Yeah, so now he's off murdering their house guests.
Yeah, and so he's now murdering people they know. She's been working behind him, just like in our where they're all werewolves thing, but in this case, she's working to save people, right?
I didn't mean that last scene would work so well when she puts the bullet in her mouth and the tears running down her face because she realizes they are not going to survive this.
Yeah.
Or she's just really upset about what's happening to her husband, and all he sees is furry her, boom.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like she's crying because she knows that he's the way he's looking at her. He sees a werewolf, and she's like, "Fuck, I'm dead."
Yeah,
and I can't save anybody now.
Yeah, she's.
Oh my god!
The whole movie, she's trying to work him away from this idea, which is what she's already doing in the original.
How dramatic would that be?
But it's in a very different kind of way.
Yeah,
it's
certainly.
You know, here's. What was she doing before? But it's a completely different angle now, and it feels the same, but it's not.
Yeah.
So nice. Cool. There are some really neat things this movie does. Like, it does tell you who the murderer is right away, but you got to be sharp to pick it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know when we talked, you didn't know who it was.
No. Like I said, I picked the two survivors. I don't know. I knew who the two survivors were going to be for some reason.
Actually, it's funny because I kind of picked both options. Like, there does wind up being two in this movie. One is the result of a fight, and then the blood being infected into the dog, which was handled by somebody who had earlier in the film got an open wound.
Yeah, and see, I've had her.
Pretty clever. It went as soon as.
But they, not the way it
as
was.
As soon as she said, you're going to suspect me, I'm like, you're totally going to become a werewolf at some point.
Yeah.
So that one I thought was easy. And the other one, I almost doubted myself about partway through because there's this clever thing they do with. Oh, how do I do this without saying who it is and who it isn't? There's a clever bit.
How far are we into the podcast? You might be able to just say it.
Well, I want to run. The werewolf break first.
Okay, there we go.
Because to give everybody a moment to come up with their own
ideas. Werewolf break it.
But there is a character where there's an interaction and an argument during the dinner piece, and then the mirror breaks. And there's only one character left in one of the shards of the mirror. I don't know if you saw that scene, but he's framed
in it. I
saw it,
but I didn't pick it up.
And initially I thought that guy was, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm wrong, because it was almost like it's telling me that's the werewolf. It just winds up being the first of the guests to die because of the werewolf. It's still, it's a misdirect. It's a really clever misdirect. It's Hitchcock.
Yes.
I thought it was brilliant. I don't know, it's as well crafted as it could have been, but I picked up on
that's
it
nice.
Right away, and it was like, oh, that's a beautiful piece, and you almost had me on that one.
Yeah. I did miss it. I admit it. I totally missed it.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that shot, but I didn't take anything away from it like you did. I don't know why. I just really liked it.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh,
I didn't
wow.
look for the deeper meaning. I should have, but.
Oh, yeah. When they told me to pay attention, I started paying attention. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I thought I pretty much had it right away.
Nice.
Which was kind of nice to be right. But they had me doubting myself, which was also good.
That's the point.
That is the point.
Yeah. And. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, their misdirects were very well constructed.
Yeah. I mean, except for Paul Foot's, because they're
so
obvious.
They lean too hard into that.
Yeah. Here's this long-haired guy. He's got hairy hands, but when you wake him up when he's sleeping, he doesn't have his chest isn't very furry. I guess it's just a lot of masturbation, and he wasn't blind.
I don't know. You can't. There's some. I've met some dudes.
They only played on one stereotype.
There's some dudes. There's an odd distribution of hair on them sometimes. Like their belly might be smooth, but like the back of their hands might have some hair. Like it's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was getting a little nervous because he grabbed the straight razor thinking. Yeah. Like, is he going to try to commit suicide, or does he just want to cut off the hair? And then he's like, yeah, fuck him. That's my hair.
Yeah.
That's, I am who I am.
I thought he was shaving.
Which is totally Paul Foot's personality.
Yes, it yeah. really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so entertaining.
He was quite charming, actually.
He was, yeah. I the actors in this movie are just fun and a little over the top, and that's what I kind of dig about it. They're like thespians that are in this ridiculous thing.
Yeah, no, they knew what they were in, and they decided, you know what, let's just have fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it never comes off like a comedy, but it does if you want it
in
to.
In some bits, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there are definitely some very pointed moments of levity there.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, yeah, you're meant to take it quite seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but the levity kind of had to go in there. Mostly provided by Paul Foot.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Actually, pretty much entirely.
The little bits where he's talking about you better lock your doors, like what, in case he wants to eat their way in or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, that's delightful. I know he's eaten human flesh, but why do I like him the most? That's bad. Like, of all the characters, the cannibal was the one I liked the most.
Yes, the cannibal.
Because he's not a cannibal. He is somebody who experimented.
Yes, experimented in college.
And I mean, as a medical student.
Yeah. Right,
I mean, sometimes you just go a little too far in your research.
I guess.
And I mean, it wasn't just him. I mean, it was him and some classmates, right?
So to be fair, I was vegan one day. It doesn't mean I'm vegan for life. Exactly. So if you flip that on its head.
Right. Yeah, he had one cannibalistic experience. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make him a cannibal.
It's like that one gay experience.
It'd be funny if he just wound up being a serial killer who's just cannibalizing his victims all the time. Not a werewolf, but
no.
He still deserves to die.
He just likes it.
He just yeah. likes it.
Well, and I mean, that could be an interesting add-in as well, is because you have to explain how some of these guests are disappearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Tom who's killing them, thinking that they're werewolves? Or now is it Paul Foot?
Mm-hmm.
See, I would have gone into the comedy angle of that. Like, it would be funny that the cannibal is the one the werewolves are kind of scared of. In the movie, and like at the end they're like going, this guy tastes like real weird, like he's been eating other people, like I don't know how to explain it, guys. It's like, you know, have you had turducken? It's kind of like that. Where you taste a meat within a meat. Like, it's a man that's eaten, like, you know, maybe some beef and chicken, another human. You know, it's all inside.
Wrapped in bacon.
Yeah.
Okay, that works for the comedy version, yep.
But, yeah, we're going to add that to the comedy one.
Yep. Yep.
Well, I wonder if they know who it is, the audience.
Ooh.
I think it's time for a break.
Yay!
We'll be right back after this important werewolf break.
Have you guessed who the werewolf is? Is it Paul Foot? Jan? Davina? Dr. Lundgren? Caroline? You have 30 seconds to give your answer. Let's see if you're right.
Do you know who it is?
Yeah, I watched the movie.
Dick.
But I didn't. I did not guess.
Who was your initial guess?
Actually, when I first saw him, my first guess was Jan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started second-guessing myself, and I actually fell for the Paul Foot stuff for a little while. Then I went to Davina. because they didn't focus on her at all. And no.
And that's what I thought.
That's a big mystery thing, because when I watch a mystery, it's like, who's the person we see the least?
Yeah. Who is that delivery man in 2 minutes of footage at the early part of the episode? Yeah. It's that guy.
It's that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so I started leaning towards Davina, but I did guess her when I was watching the 30 seconds there. I'm like, I think it's Davina, just because that scene with the meat where she kind of looks like she would really like to dig into it.
Okay.
And because they spent so little time on her.
Okay. Trish, who is your guess?
I had
and why?
Caroline.
Okay.
Because of that big, she had kind of that big row with Tom about touching the stupid candlestick. And I'm like, maybe she's just trying to avoid touching the candlestick.
But, you know, the fight with the wolf and the dog while she runs to the dog kind of
I wasn't paying that much attention. Yeah, because I thought maybe, because they say that they don't have to always turn.
Yeah.
And that's what I was leaning into when I saw that. I'm like, maybe that's what they were talking about. But, yeah, that's where I went. So it was kind of right, but not, it wasn't the original werewolf, so I was wrong.
And my initial was yawn, and I did kind of stick with it for the most part. At one point, because of that mirror bit with Bennington, I'm like, oh, maybe. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it was yawn, because after he tells everybody I'm going to kill the werewolf at the first opening bit, the only one that tries to leave is yawn. Mm-hmm. And he even says, like, I'll stay, just let everybody else go.
Yeah.
He practically told him, I'm the werewolf.
I remember that line, but I don't know why I didn't think it was the werewolf.
Because it's so right there, and they do such a good job misdirecting you from that moment, but it's right there.
Yeah,
it's
really is right there.
Fucking there. So,
and then, of course,
in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, totally Caroline's going to be a werewolf at some point, too, mm-hmm. because she says, oh, you're going to suspect me as a werewolf. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're not, but it's going
to
happen at some point.
It seemed to be, for me, for a murder mystery, it made most sense that somebody the closest to Tom would be the one person that it would be, because there's more tragedy to that type of thing.
Yeah, that's another Agatha. Mm-hmm. Christy kind of thing to do.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, and you did pick it out that she actually, even if she wasn't the werewolf, she was going to be a werewolf.
Yeah, I still kind of like, I kind of got it, but I didn't feel like I was 100% on it, because they did take me on that ride where I wasn't sure of my choices, especially when, because I wasn't sure about the Caroline angle, like, or maybe she always was. And then the whole dog thing happens. Oh, maybe she isn't. Yeah. So, like, with Caroline, there was never 100% there. Mm-hmm. So, but I pretty much stuck with my Yan choice through most of it, Yan. And I was kind of happy to see. I was right on that.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why I don't watch a lot of mysteries, because I always get them early. But I don't always, but
sometimes I do.
They were pretty successful in keeping me
making
on
you question
my toes.
Your show decision for a while there. Yeah.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. I was so furious. I was there for like the first 10 minutes. I'm like, damn it! I know exactly who it is. And I was completely right.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Werewolf.
Yes.
Oh. I want that movie.
There's a werewolf mole. There's a weremole. Oh. Oh
my. I want to see it now.
Weremoly moly.
This myopic little thing spying on everybody.
It's literally going like through like this top secret building looking at things.
Yeah, getting really, really close because they can't see, right?
Yeah.
I love how Tom's shit just kept getting destroyed. He had cameras in the trees and microphones in the ground. He spent a lot of money, and most of the monitoring got destroyed. So then he calls back his helicopter pilots to be eyes in the sky. And because the Mighty Hunter is a fucking shitty shot.
He really is.
Blows up the fucking chopper and pilots.
Yeah.
And doesn't feel too bad about it.
That bothered me a lot.
And he fires his gun off into his own house. Like, he's firing it up into the ceiling. He walks with a shotgun and fires it into the ceiling.
He's just a knob.
He is.
I know.
He's really unlikable.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I like the whole this psychopath bit.
Yeah.
Where nobody's a werewolf. I love that.
Like, and he's not a good shot. Like, there's that one point he's in the woods and like he's really with the werewolf and he misses two pretty easy shots.
Well, for a great hunter,
I think that's where
a pretty bad shot.
In your comedy, we flash back to him being a hunter, and it's always Pavel just over his shoulder,
yes,
making the shot.
You're in my head. That's exactly what I'm thinking. There's always somebody beside him, like, good shot, sir.
Wonderful, sir.
Wonderful, as they've got like the rifle behind their back. Good shot.
We've done more work on the comedy.
Well, the psychological thriller kind of writes itself. We don't have to do much with it.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing you do have to explain is, or sort of figure out how to explain, is as people disappear, because you still need those people disappearing and dying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can definitely play this out a little differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dinner parties should be a lot shorter. And there should be a lot more intrigue and chasing, like, when the people start realizing that they're captive. I don't want him to tell everybody.
No.
At least not right away. Maybe on day two.
Yeah, when they start questioning him.
Yeah, when he's, like, going, well, fuck, they're not choking on the silverware. They're not. Hold this candelabra. Like, where he just starts acting more erratic to them.
Yeah.
I mean, we still kind of ride on his shoulders, like, this is the real deal. And he's becoming what seems like more ludicrous and more erratic. Mm-hmm. And now people are starting to defend themselves a bit.
Yeah.
Where it comes off like an attack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Where he's like, it's you, isn't it? It's you. Like, he does kind of with Paul Foot at one point.
Yeah.
And the person would probably be like, you have to get away from me. And
you
then
still
he'll
honor
kill
the original
them.
In some of those sequences because of that. But they play out so differently, even though you're not changing a lot.
No.
Just because of where the angle is.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I think that you'd create some great tension there by letting it build. Where he's just watching those reactions at the first dinner party and going, what's going on? Why am I not getting any reactions? This kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You can have the
DeVita's turned off because she just isn't a meat eater.
Turn that one on its head, right?
And you can have a few other people too where they're like going, okay, I like meat, but like, shouldn't there be a side dish of some kind? Because that was the other thing that bothered me about the dinner is that's all they serve, like, not even like mashed potatoes. There has to be a side. There just does.
Well, there's that prime rib place down on McLeod Trail. I don't even know if it's still there anymore. Smugglers Inn. Mm-hmm. They used to serve you a slab of meat.
That's true.
That's all they'd serve you. All right. If you wanted a side, you could order like a potato or vegetables. But when you ordered your meal, I've been to some more upscale places
where you order your main course. It's a lot of sharing, so you do order your sides all separate.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of more of a shared thing.
But I need just more. One thing isn't a meal to me. It just isn't.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. That kind of, oh man, that one works on so many levels. I mean.
Yeah.
Certainly, yeah. And making him the beast that must die.
Right.
And I mean, even if you have him.
I wouldn't do the werewolf break on that so much as I'd almost give an homage to it. Is it you? Is it you?
It's you.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be right. I mean, nobody's dead even, right? Like, you don't have to have any deaths at all. Right? Actually, when I think about it, you don't have to, nobody has to die.
I think they could have a couple people, but like
you can have people get injured, like the electrified fence or whatever. That's when people realize things are going badly.
He's booby trap stuff, and people are dying because of the booby traps. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you can even still have somebody trying to kill him. It turns out it's fucking Caroline. So you could have this scene where somebody's trying to kill him with an axe, and somebody's trying to kill him.
Well,
with
but this is all very mental in his head too. Yeah. Like maybe nothing's happening at all.
Yeah, like you could have something where you think Caroline's trying to poison him. What she's really trying to do is dose him with medication, so he's a little more stable.
Yeah, and he's.
And that's maybe how she dies. Like, he starts to really suspect her because he's like, why did you put in my food? And she's like,
he's starting to have episodes where he thinks this axe went to his head that he just saw on the stump. And you can have, like, that axe. And then maybe when he's turning around looking for somebody in the foreground or the background even, the axe is back in the stump.
Yeah.
Just little hints. Like, you got to be paying attention.
Yeah.
Just a hint that, no, what you just saw didn't actually happen.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you could even do the Paul Foot arrow scene. Mm-hmm. Right?
And that could be, you could play that exactly the same where it's like, that was total, I was just trying to hit the bottle kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or you just have
Or you change it to like Skeet or something.
Yeah.
No, you just have Paul Foot coming out, missed you. Like, I missed you.
I missed you, man.
Do you want to have a drink?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would just be how it would play out.
Not like I missed killing you.
Yeah, no. Missed you. Do you want a drink?
Yeah, that would work really well, right?
Yeah.
Because his is a totally innocuous statement in any other context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, this movie is all about context. Like, and I think back to some of my directing classes where you say a line straight one way and then you can just change the emphasis and it sounds like a completely different statement despite the fact nothing in the line has changed.
Yeah.
Well, it's like...
Will you pass me that beer? And you go like, sure. Pass me. Will you pass me that beer? Will you pass me the beer? You know, just keep changing the inflection, changes the
meaning.
And
there's punctuation, too. We can't eat children. We can't eat children.
Yeah, there's so many different ways of delivering
the line. There's a statement of, we can't eat right now, children. Or no, that eating children is kind of wrong.
Exactly. We can't eat children.
Oh, that works so well.
Yeah, and I mean, man, you can certainly play with the dialogue that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
Yeah, just have it just all about being him crazy. And that worked so well with my director, too. But yes. I went that way on purpose. Like, I was thinking that direction, obviously, because I did pick my director based on that.
Yeah.
So
are you taking us there? Or is this just a thing?
It's just a thing. But, if we're ready to go there, we can go there.
I don't know. I'm not the host.
Then I'm taking us there.
Nice.
You're so good at this.
You're an asshole.
Can you tell
I'm not happy about this?
Yeah, I can tell you're not happy.
You just got to take charge. Don't. If you ask the questions, you're like, yeah, we're doing that.
This is like a
do it.
Topping from the bottom or something. Like it's a BDS thing. I'm like, I got to tell you everything you need to do.
Spank me, damn it. Harder.
Harder. Fuck.
Harder.
Ew.
Get the crop.
Put your back into it.
It's too bad you guys can't see head shakes.
I think they can hear it. Just with you.
Just my dead silence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the two losers are getting a lot of glee out of this.
We have to do our best.
So, Jay, why don't you go with your casting first?
Well, thank you, Sam. No, wait. Tell him thank you.
Okay, Jason says thank you, Sam.
Tell Jason he's a crybaby.
Jason, Sam says you're a crybaby.
Tell him he's a knob.
Okay, you know what? If I'm going to be delivering your lines, I just want a full script.
Okay.
We'll just start from there.
Okay, well, tell him my director... I'll just do it. For my director on this one, because it's so weird and nutty, and I thought, who does really cool, gritty, but funny and sarcastic and can put a good mystery spin on this, but the Coen brothers.
Nice.
That's a nice choice.
And Joel Coen.
That's a good choice.
I did want to stay very British with Amicus, even though the original cast had some American actors. I went primarily British with my cast, unless it was a character that wasn't British, like Pavel. Mm-hmm. So I went with a different ethnicity or region of the world for those kind of people. Inevitably, for this lead, I'm sure everybody's expecting us to say Idris Elba. I'm not doing it.
Yep.
No, not going there. We overdo it. So
we love Idris, but we can't.
Yeah. So for Tom Newcliffe, I went with Robbie G. You might remember him from Snatch.
That's right.
Very, very fun. But he still was the leader type of his little group of thieves. So
one of the many groups of thieves.
Yes. One of the, I know I'm not narrowing it down. Just go watch the fucking movie.
Snatch is good. Watch it.
It is. Absolutely. For my Dr. Lundgren, this was my biggest change. Because it was such a stereotype role, the professor with the kind of German accent. I'm like, oh, God, you're such a cartoon character. I don't want this anymore. And I think we've solved that problem a little bit, maybe eliminating the character outright. But this would work for either cast if we still cast as the archaeologist / lycanthropy specialist.
I'm glad you could say it. See, you had trouble, though. I saw you.
And that one I was almost struggled on a little bit. Helen Mirren.
Yes.
Right?
I love it.
And sometimes she'll take a really kooky role.
She likes taking those really kooky roles.
Well, the last Fast and Furious. I'm like, that's freaking Helen Mirren.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm totally on board with her, and I didn't think anybody would have an objection to that.
No.
For Caroline, Tom's wife, I went with the new Moneypenny from the recent Bond movies, Naomi Harris.
Nice.
For Bennington, I went with Liam Cunningham. A lot of you guys might know him from Game of Thrones as Davos.
I have some Game of Thrones people in mind.
Although,
too.
Alternatively, I also was like, Eddie Izzard would be really good in that part, too.
Nice. Yeah.
So, you know, I had a couple. I'm like, I'll just say both because they're both awesome. This one I do overuse, but I couldn't right away when I saw this guy and the sound of his voice with Pavel. I just instantly thought Mads Mikkelsen.
Nice.
So yeah, and he would be really good as the guy shooting things over the guy's shoulder. Nice shot, sir.
Yes.
He'd be very good at that, yeah.
I'd like to see him do a little comedy. And, you know, he'd still be good straight if he went with more of the thriller version we were talking about as well. So nice. Most of my cast would work in either direction, which is great. Cool. It was unintentional, but this is actually working out pretty good. For Davina, I went with Alex Reed. She's in The Descent and Misfits.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I thought you guys would like that. And this was another one that was just instantaneous in my head with Paul Foot. I went with Jason Fleming.
Oh, yeah. I can totally see it.
Most of his resume is British, but if you caught Primeval...
You'll be weirded out by my Paul Foot.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing. And for Jan, I went with Richard Armitage, big powerful voice, a little younger. He was Thorin.
Hobbit. He was
Thorin. Yeah, Thorin in The Hobbit. So that was my cast, and then the Coens are gonna usher that in. Yeah, I think that I was pretty happy with it, and I'm like, this is still gonna work in either version. Yeah. So
no, yeah, your casting does work in pretty much either version. It's true. Yeah.
And maybe a part of me, because I was in my back of my brain thinking this could go either way as a comedy. So maybe in the back of my brain I was thinking that in my casting.
Mm-hmm. Totally works for me.
Yeah.
Totally works for me.
Cool. Do you want me to go next?
Yeah. Go ahead, Trish.
Okay. I did the same type of thing where it's weird. I've got like kind of heavy hitter actors, but I sort of want to do the comedy, but I think they could play it so straight that it would be... just get the comedy out of the situations. Like, you know what I mean? So I went with, for Tom Newcliffe, there's Peter Mensa. He's on Midnight Texas TV series.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I like him. For Caroline, Tandy Newton.
Oh, yeah. That did come across in my brain.
Because I like her. And because we're combining Pavel into like one character, because I was struggling with my Dr. Christopher. I didn't know who to...
Oh, I helped
Peter
you.
Cushing. You did. Because like with combining this... You're going to love this. I went with Peter Stormare.
Oh. Okay.
I've been watching Swedish Dicks, and I'm loving it.
I do like that.
He can also do comedy. I'm like, I like him.
He's very good at comedy, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with the Coens. That would totally work.
Yeah, totally.
Bennington, I'm not quite sure if he's still alive, but I just came across him. Julian Glover. He's quite older now. Like,
yeah.
It's the same character kind of as from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I was watching it recently. And
yeah,
like,
I don't know if he's with us or not. But, I mean, it is fantasy casting, so screw it. We don't always...
Yeah, exactly.
We usually avoid dead people, but it's fine. It's fine.
Exactly.
Especially if we're not sure if they're passed or not.
If we're not sure, yeah.
I think he'd be a little too old for
He might be a little too old, but I'm like, if I could get him in that...
I mean, the character was... I mean, if you
if
got
him
in
If I could get
him
when
that,
he was that old.
Yeah, if you got him in the 80s or even 90s, he would have been perfect.
It would have been perfect. He's the absolute perfect one in that age. For Davina, I went a very different way because I thought she needs to be kind of otherworldly because I want a bit more misdirection to like deepen her character. Tilda Swinton.
Oh...
And then, so for Yan, I had Ian Glen. So Tilda Swinton and Ian Glen.
Wow.
That's an interesting combination.
That would be a good combination.
It is, yeah.
And for my Paul Foot, I went with Jack Gleason.
Oh.
From Game of Thrones. King Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
Huh. I'll be honest. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not
I think
right
it would be weird.
In my head.
I think it would be weird.
It is weird.
But I'd like to see it. Because I've seen like interviews with him, he's quite a charming young man, and I would like to see him channel that.
Yeah, I was just in college eating people.
Yes, yeah. Like I mean, I kind of also want. I really did want to make him young.
Yeah.
younger than everybody else. I don't know why. It just sort of seemed to make more sense.
It did seem to make more sense. Because in the, I mean, Paul Foot in the movie, is younger than most of the people there. Right?
Yeah,
aside from Davina, he's probably the youngest person there.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And my director, I went with Paul Figg because I was like trying to think comedy. And I'm like, yeah. But he can make straight actors do comedy really
it's
well.
It's funny, I was when I was thinking about this, I'm like, well, I'm thinking comedy, but I don't have an angle, but Trish will.
Yeah. Well, we all will. It's sort of like...
Well, we always do that. We'll light always the feed fuse. Off each other. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll always feed off each other a little
and,
bit, yeah.
And for the wolf, I want to have a Caucasian ovcharka, the big giant Russian bear dog. And for the pet dog, I want a Russian wolfhound because you kind of have to.
Yes. Yeah, Trish cast the dogs.
I did.
That's awesome.
That is truly awesome.
Thank you.
So I
and no dogs. There were, that fight was a real dog fight, by the way.
Yes.
The
yeah.
But all the dogs are
all
fine.
All dogs are fine.
They all live to a ripe old age. It's all good.
Yeah, and see, these are two big dogs. They'll be able to handle each other. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, I think any fighting would be CGI'd anyhow.
Yeah.
These days, sure.
These days, it's just the better way to go.
I'd like to have, if you were doing practical, like a large stuffed version of one of the dogs, then have the one dog attack it, then a stuffed version of the other dog, and have the other dog attack it, and do mm-hmm. kind of just cut the fight that way. You could.
And, I mean, in the whole in his head thing version, it could still just be two dogs fighting. This is maybe an actual wolf wandering yeah. onto the property,
yeah.
and the dog... That's kind yeah. of the dog's job, is to keep the wild animals off the property.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it just in his head, that's the werewolf shoot.
Yeah. Yep.
And it just fires off a lot of other ideas in his brain.
Oh,
nice.
That's how you get him to kill himself, too, is he gets involved and that's where he gets his scratch.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he thinks he's going to turn.
Well, yeah, he's already killed his wife because, wait, you got infected by holding the dog mm-hmm. who's killed the werewolf, which wasn't really a werewolf.
Yeah.
So he kills his wife. And, oh, man, not even realizing he was a psycho.
Yeah. Yeah. I still like it. So,
nice. We ended dark. I love it.
Yes, we did. So my cast
you can count on us doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah, we're pretty good at that. So my cast is pretty international. I didn't stick with American or English. For my Tom Newcliffe, as soon as I saw the opening scene and I saw Tom, one name popped in my head. I thought Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, I see it, kind
of. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a little older now, but he still looks pretty young. And I like the idea of him being a little bit older, having sort of...
Well, accumulated that wealth over many years, right?
So I thought that would be appropriate. And he's got a somewhat younger wife with Tyra Banks.
So okay. you just yeah. bring her in, yeah.
Yeah.
But not like obscenely old. That's really the one thing yeah. I was doing with my yeah. casting I didn't
yeah.
want to
well,
do.
Well, and yeah, I mean, that's still a sort of a May, September, but not that horrifying.
Not September the next year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. For my Jan Gilmore, I want to do him sort of as an aging, sort of fading rock star.
Oh, oh cool. I like that idea.
Yeah, and I went with Christoph Waltz because I'd love to see him do that.
I think that would work.
Yeah,
and again, another guy who could work in both directions. So. Actually, so far, all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. For my Davina, I've just been watching Altered Carbon, and I really like this actress in Dollhouse, and the few scenes of her I've seen in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I went with... I can't say her name properly, I'm sure, but her name's Daichin Lockman.
She's the Asian
yes.
girl.
I remember really her from Dollhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I liked her when she had the colored hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Australian, right?
She's like, Australian, yeah. So she's
a great accent, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd love to see her do that accent, looking the way she does. I think she'd be perfect as sort of this... Cool. Former backup singer to Jan.
Oh,
and I think she looks
neat.
Yeah.
She looks otherworldly enough, yeah. so I have this thought of like she could be like a metaphysical predator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a power about her.
I was casting that way, right? I wanted yeah. everybody
Love
to
it.
Have
an exotic feel to yeah. them. Yeah.
So following that note, for the Arthur Bennington character, I went with an Indian actor by the name of Shahrukh Khan.
Ooh.
Right. So I could see, like, because he's a former diplomat. He doesn't have a lot of American exposure, but he did one called My Name is Khan, mm-hmm. which is one of the most incredibly powerful movies you'll ever see.
Nice.
I highly recommend watching it. He plays an Indian man with a learning disability.
Right.
Nice. Yeah,
I'll have to watch that.
And he's on the autism spectrum. Definitely worth watching. Yeah. But yeah, he's really good. I think just a phenomenal actor, and I love the idea of having an Indian diplomat.
That makes
That'd
sense.
Be good to bring into American audiences, introduce them to him.
Yeah, or reintroduce them. Yeah,
reintroduce them to American audiences. And yeah, I mean that would make sense as a former diplomat, maybe. Yeah, I dig that. I dig that a lot. And I mean,
and he can do comedy
if you're still keeping it in a kind of a British setting.
then
yeah,
it's
in
still
India,
very works.
India,
it's
Britain, it's yeah. very yeah. closely yeah, exactly. related. Like, yeah. It makes a whole lot of sense.
That was the rationale behind it. I'm like, let's do something a little different.
I really like that, yeah.
Yeah. I did keep Professor Lundgren and Pavel separate because originally we hadn't condensed
yeah,
them.
Yeah, we didn't have the idea yet.
So as I did our throwback, I went with Michael Gambon as Professor Lundgren.
Okay.
Right. Nice.
Because I think he played the weird eccentric rather than sort of the...
Sure.
The like
these
the
days, yeah. yes.
Yes, yes, exactly. For my Pavel, I went with Martin Freeman.
And man, if he was yelling at the guy for, you know, this is all in your brain,
yeah.
he's a psychologist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
And you make a great psychologist, yeah. yeah. So yeah, Martin Freeman is my Pavel. And then for my Paul Foot, I went with Tom Hiddleston because I saw a little bit of Loki in there.
Yeah.
So I figured, yeah, let's go with that. I like it. Right, right.
He'd be another guy too charming. You're like, okay, I know he's eating human flesh, but damn it.
Yeah, exactly. Because right? he does that mischievous wordplay very, very well.
Trish is like, eh, he ate people, but I'd still do him.
kind of, it's weird. I don't know. I don't know if the world has really just darkened me in a lot of ways, or I'm like, sure, he ate an already dead human. I know a lot of people who are doing worse things to other humans all the time, so...
exactly.
That's the person I could date. Yeah. Plus, I mean, if he's eating human flesh, he knows how to cook.
There we go. That's always a plus.
So, I mean, there's that.
If you can prepare that.
If you can prepare that, you can pretty much prepare anything, I'm thinking.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then for my director, when I was watching this, I was thinking The Game, which was directed by David Fincher. Yeah. I'm like, well, I don't want to go with Fincher because, well...
I'd thought about it.
For the dark version, it would work perfectly.
It would work perfectly, but I went with one of his contemporaries who's done similar stuff very, very well. I went with Neil Berger, who directed Limitless and The Illusionist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love Limitless.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Big fan of Limitless.
Yeah, as am I. And The Illusionist, when you want to think about movies with a twist in them,
yeah.
It's a great, great example
of
it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, so yeah, like I said, when I was casting, I was thinking about him not being sane, so...
Nice.
So yeah, I went
with
that.
Yeah, it's weird. I toyed with that idea, but I didn't know how to really make it happen.
And that's why we bring it up here, so we can flesh it out together.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anybody else have anything they'd like to add?
Yes. I think if anybody enjoyed this show, they can find us.
And you can continue there, Jay, because you're so good at doing this, and I can't remember them all anyhow.
God damn it.
Spreaker, Libsyn.
Blueberry. Apple Fine. Podcasts.
Just let me roll into this. Let me limber up. All right. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a comment and questions and requests like this one that Subway Switch had just made and was a really good suggestion. I'm looking forward to more of this kind of... This is the kind of thing we look for, so...
Yeah, I wouldn't call this one a challenge, like a fan challenge, because it was just a really good request.
It was just a good request.
Oh, and I mean, I tell you, I know we remade it, but if you haven't watched this movie, watch it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun.
So if you have movies you'd like us to cover, we'll certainly consider them. You can leave us those suggestions in a myriad of places. We are, of course, on Instagram and Facebook as Invasion of the Remake. We are at Invasion Remake on Twitter and InvasionOfTheRemake@gmail.com. If you want to give us a nice long letter of all sorts of cool shit, that's cool too.
Or if you know anything more about this movie or any of the other movies, there might be some trivia we are not aware of.
Yes, digging deep for this movie was damn near impossible.
Oh, that was something we were going to mention. We were talking about Robert Block as the Amicus sort of house writer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big name.
A very big name. I mean, he's a very successful novelist and screenwriter. So, yeah, when we were talking last night, I wanted to make sure we mentioned that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably cover some more Amicus films down the road, but there's a lot we won't because they're anthology films, which makes it... really tough to do. Alta Horror, Tales from the Crypt were over there. But
yeah.
there's still things that other things I'm like, it was a good when I looked at just Amicus's library, I'm like, there's some stuff here.
I'd say for like maybe in one episode as a thought experiment we should try putting together our own like anthology movie.
And it's a possibility for sure. I mean, we've talked about maybe comparing the Twilight Zone movie to the episodes that inspired it.
Absolutely.
So, but there is one unique sequence in that movie. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's some challenges with that, but we're always up for a challenge. We just have to figure out how we're going
to approach
it. That's
true. I mean, we did fucking puppets, so.
Literally, fucking puppets.
Really, literally, we're not talking about, we're mad at the puppets. These puppets were fucking.
Yes, yes. Meet the Feebles episode, go check it out. It's something.
Yeah, and literally, shit, tons of shit with a fly.
So, yeah, if you think puppets are going to throw us off, you thought wrong.
Hell no.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. But hey, if you dig episodes, especially like this, that are really weird, you can leave a comment in all those places. But leave us a short review as well, and maybe a comment over on Apple Podcasts and a review there. That'll help people who dig this kind of thing find the show. And, of course, drop us 5 stars. That would be nice as well. That helps get some more
earballs
on the show. Aye. I don't know why I'm saying aye, but aye. Do it.
You can do it.
And tell your friends how to find the show. We're in a ton of different places now. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how many places we are at. You can find us at Apple Podcasts, iTunes, yeah. Stitcher, Google Play Music, Blueberry, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, Spreaker. We might be on iHeartRadio by the time you hear this. I don't know. I'm still waiting for the confirmation on that.
Ooh.
And a whole bunch of other places, including...
Frickin' YouTube.
So there you go. But, hey, YouTube, you are getting them a little later than everybody else. Just saying. Mm-hmm. So the best way to enjoy us is kind of on the go. Subscribe to an app. But, if you're patient... That's fine, too. A couple days won't kill you.
Maybe you're in the habit of listening to it on Thursdays or Fridays, and that works out perfect for you.
Yeah. Yeah. This is just kind of an experiment. If you don't dig it...
Maybe Thursday is your day off.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff is there. You don't have to listen to it. You can listen to it at any time you want, any time at all. But I'm just trying an experiment there right now, so we're dropping that on Thursdays instead of Tuesdays on YouTube. But everybody else gets it Tuesday.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Yeah, don't be mad. Don't be mad about it.
No, we're just trying to spread out the fun.
Yeah.
Over the course of the week.
Exactly.
Yeah,
a little bit of love everywhere.
Mm.
It's all about the love.
That's right.
Unlike this movie.
No, yeah, this movie's about killing somebody.
Unless you love doing it. Like Tom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He loves what he does.
There's a lot of heads running around in that house. Well, not running around. There's just a lot of heads on the walls in that house.
Yeah, he loves killing things.
Yeah. Well, thanks for this Subway Switch. That was a really great suggestion.
Yeah.
Thanks for following us on the YouTubes.
Yes.
Yes, thank you very much. It was a really fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially fun remaking it. I really had a blast actually with this episode.
Mm,
I mean, yeah. I always do, but this one was.
I had fun watching it too. I mean, it's slow, but it's not overly long.
No,
there's some fun moments in it.
Yeah, it's just there's times where I just laughed at the thing. It's just like, what the fuck?
It's so much a product of its time that it's just there's a level. It's just so enjoyable.
I mean, I can't even describe the blaxploitation kind of disco music at the beginning is just glorious.
It really is.
Yeah.
And ending.
And then, and the part where, if you're talking blaxploitation, I don't know if this is part of that thing, but when he goes out, the guy wakes him up in the chair and he's out with a rifle, but with a, a shiny leather jacket and no shirt out hunting some guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And his outfits, we didn't talk about his outfit.
That are just black all the time.
Black, black, shiny. Mm-hmm. Plastic.
Yeah, and whoever thought, I mean, for the most part, they were trying to shoot day for night so that they'd have the lighting better, but the primary hunting werewolf scene looks like night for night. So you have this dark German Shepherd and this dark man in a dark outfit.
In really low light.
In really low light, and maybe it's just, it didn't transfer well to the Blu-ray DVD copies we were looking at, but that did not work well and did not age well.
But ultimately, if you want it,
a bunch of teeth and eyes.
You want to compare it with something? Remember our Gone in 60 Seconds episode, and there was a part where it was all in the dark.
Yeah. Oh,
that was worse.
Yeah, the chase sequence in the original film where it's just dancing headlights. That's all you see.
Dancing headlights and roars and roars and noise, and that's it.
Yeah, it was completely unintelligible what you were looking at.
Nope. Yeah, I couldn't see a thing. At least in this one, you had a vague idea.
Yeah, you have a vague idea. for sure. It's not like you are missing much. You get an idea.
Yes, you do get an idea.
Well, take us home, Sam.
Oh, yes. So that's it for this week. I'm always Sam.
I continue to be Trish.
And I'm Jason. We are out of here.
Bye-bye.
If that was dinner, I can't wait for the cabaret.